knowing him, thinking on him, recognizing, and one of the things that we did is we said, we stand in awe of your love, of your holiness, of your power, right? Recognizing him somehow, and his awe somehow changes us, doesn't it? One of the things I thought of, and the idea of humility came up in Sunday school this morning, and I suspect that the more that we stand in awe of who he is, the less our own pride tends to go, oh, I'm really something. No, no, no. He's really something. And all I am is in him. There's three verses in Psalm 103 that talk about his love. 13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. 11, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. Does God love everybody? Yes. All the time? Yes. God loves everybody all the time. And when I read these verses, one of my question marks was, then why this qualifier of fear or awe or respect? And there's lots of possibilities, I suppose, and I haven't considered them all. But I do think it's connected to God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Now, as we stand in awe of him and hold him with this reverence and in a sense, fear that he is mighty, he is powerful, that our humility increases and God goes, oh, look what I can do in your life now. I don't need to oppose you anymore. It's one of the most terrifying verses in the Bible to me. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Because I know my pride. I don't want to be in opposition to him. That's terrifying, being opposition to the maker of heaven and earth. Well, let's take a look. I told Wendy, I said, I'm probably speaking on the brevity of life. And she goes, so life sucks and then you die? There's far more to it than that. But, all right, verse 14. He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. I'm not one for alliteration very often, but it seemed so natural to this. So the first, verse 14, talks of the frailty of man. He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. He desires us to be godlike, but he does not expect us to be like him without his strength or his power or his grace. When you're young, you're 13, you're 14, you're 15, one story, because I think you guys think I was always kind of this old, tame, calm. There was a hill in Lanigan, and they had pushed all the dirt up to make a whole bunch of lots because there's going to be 10,000 people because there's going to be another mine, which is happening now, but anyhow. And so there's this long hill of dirt outside of town, and there had been a path worn in it. And so you'd get on there with your 10-speed bike, is what we would do, okay, 10-speed bike, and you'd try to hit 10th gear by the end of the hill. Then you'd go down the hill, and then you'd hit... A what? A rock. No, what you would hit is whatever you could find. It was usually like a 2x10 plank, set up about yay high on a few rocks or something, and you'd hit a ramp. Because you're 14 and you're 15, and you are nearly invincible at 14 and 15, and you will just do what you will race lawnmowers in circles on two wheels. I've seen it, guys. Because you think, I'm pretty flexible. I'm pretty, whatever. I don't even think that. You just kind of go, I can do this. And then you get hurt, or you get sick, or you get old. And some of us, Connie, stop doing things then. But we realize we're not actually made of that tough of stuff. And that's true physically, it's true in so many different ways. We're very fragile. We realize how fragile we are, and God's always known that. He knows how we're formed. He remembers that we're dust. Now, when we're born again, there's a part of us that's made of much tougher stuff. And eventually we will be remade with tougher stuff. But that reborn part of us, but for the most part, we are pretty fragile. And God knows this. Verse 15. The flourishing, so fragile, fragility of man, the flourishing of man. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. This is a weird one in some ways, because there's this brevity to life. There's this quickness. There's this, oh man, where did it go? But in the meantime, we have this opportunity to flourish. We toured Cheryl's Lilies this summer. I went to the library tour with Wendy and a whole bunch of ladies. I was the only guy there. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. Anyways, I enjoyed it. I like looking around the lilies, but one of the weird things, and I'm not criticizing anybody that likes this, I like the, oh, what would they be called? Someone help me out. The normal lilies, not the day lilies. The ones that last. Asiatic? Asiatic lilies. Because they'll open and they'll last. And I'm like, I don't get the point of daylilies. Sorry, and I'm not criticizing. I just, like, why would you want a flower that only opens for a day? Well, and that could, I'm not criticizing. But that's a little bit what David is saying. We flourish for a day. We flourish for a time. Can anybody tell me who the first premier of Saskatchewan was? Mr. Historian in the back? Okay. I had to check it out. I wouldn't have got the first name, but the last name was Scott. But I liked stuff like that, and when we walked around the legislature, I couldn't tell you the second premier, you know. He flourished. He had a job that he did, and yet today, I mean, we're Saskatchewanians, most of us, born and raised here, and we don't know who he was. But we do, and we can flourish, and it's good too, but it's brief. So the word flourish actually means blossom, shine, sparkle, put forth blossoms. Sometimes very brief in meetings. Sometimes it's also used differently. Isaiah 27:6. In days to come, Jacob will take root. Israel will bud and blossom and fill all the world with fruit. And so there's this bigger meaning at times. But a couple other verses I thought of were found. Psalm 90:12. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. You often hear some of these at funerals. Psalm 39:4, show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. All right. And then verse 15, as for man, his days are like grass. Oh, 16. I'll read from 15. His days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone. And its place remembers it no more. David uses wind here as a picture of what happens. How many of you have ever had an experience that you could relate to that in the farming community? Days are like grass or crop, flourishes like a flower of the field, the wind blows over it, and it's gone. How many days of hot wind without rain does it take? 3? How deep the roots are, how big the soil. Sometimes it's only a few days, and you can look at the crop, and you go, oh. And David's saying, man will fade. The fragility of man, the flourishing of man, the fading of man. We flourish for a time, but we fade. And that's not to say that what we do while we're here isn't important, but it's to consider, life happens pretty fast, and what do we do with that, right? We understand that picture of fading. Ironically, you know, for all my life and before, the thing that we heard with Remembrance Day was lest we forget, and in remembrance. And you're starting to see signs that our culture is going to forget. All these things fade away. 1 Peter 1. It says, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Our hope, and then we're going to switch gears a little bit, but our hope in this whole brief life that we have is that we're born of imperishable seed through the word of God, through what Christ did. Life moves fast, but life is not all there is. Okay. This is kind of, that's heavy. That's a, you know? You guys that are, how old are you guys now? 14, 15? I'm scared to guess. 12? 14. All right. Life moves fast. I was warned. You've been warned. It didn't help. It'll still move fast. But now we come to this comparison in David's whole point. But, from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. And in the same way that our lives are short and they move fast and we look and we go, oh, that's 40 years that have gone past. It's 20 years. Look, our child, I remember some of them, not each one, and it was tougher with 4 daughters, right? Because there's no distinction between some of it as much. I remember some of their births. I remember Danae's dedication in particular here. Right? I mean, I was there for all their births, but I remember some distinctive things about them. And it's moved so quick. But as quick as that moves and as fast as it happens and as frail as we are and as much as we fade, the very opposite of that is the Lord's compassion, his love for us. And in every way that we fade, his love remains. In every way that we are fragile, his love is enduring. We flourish for a moment, and his love has always, always been active. When life is fading, does he love you? I want some verbal responses here because it's good for us to say it out loud. Yeah. When we're flourishing and feel like we've got the world by the tail. Is that the right phrase? You get that right? Yeah. Does he love you? Yeah. when we feel awful fragile and we're going, I don't know what I'm made of here, Lord. You got to do this because we can't handle it anymore. Does he love you? Yeah. Yeah. And it's a really, really irritating fact that it sometimes takes all of that to happen before we really understand how much he loves us. So while life is brief, his love is incredible for us. Amen. I would be remiss without at least reading to the end of those verses, and I think it's probably going to be a different message at some point, either by me or someone else, who knows. Lord's love with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. There's three different qualifiers there, and yet I do feel like it probably starts with remaining in awe of who he is and seeing him in awe. So, Father, we are grateful for your love. We are grateful for what you do in our lives, how you work, and we're grateful for this short time that we have. It's weird to think sometimes of how quick it goes, how quick it's gone. And yet it's very meaningful to us to be able to look back and see how your love has held us, has guided us, has strengthened us, and to be able to trust that it will in the future. We leave that with you, Father. How you want to work in our lives, how you want to do things, we ask you to do it. In Jesus' name we pray, we give you thanks. Amen. How is that for timing? I heard that alarm. Is there a song?